I do not think.
So what are you getting at?
Yeah, I'm live.
Do you even listen to yourself when you talk?
Hey, we're live! Woohoo! Turn off your radio before it's too late!
Hated it.
I told you this was a bad idea.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bob's big boy, Greg Bedard, in studio with us here, as he is every Tuesday during the football season. And the mere mention of that 69-yard pass play to Juju Smith-Schuster-Murray. Did you see Bedard? Looked like his head was going to pop. He was insulted.
I forgot about that play.
He was personally insulted by that play for some reason. Explain why, Greg.
Well, what were they doing in cover one robber on that play? I mean, they have to go.
Okay, so just again, for those of us who are football idiots.
So, Greg, what's a cover one robber?
Right, explain cover ear hole him! Explain cover hole.
Tell me about the wheel robber, the wham blocks.
Basically, cover one robber is they're playing man coverage, other than there's one deep safety, and the other safety sort of lurks in the middle of the field as a robber. Or some schemes call it cover one lurk. And so
Put him up.
The guy is in the middle of the field, and he usually reads the quarterback eyes, or he's going to give help to a certain player in certain situations. You know, now...
No, this is essentially the defense that Miami played against the Patriots the week before, right?
And the Patriots play it all the time. Usually McCourty's the robber. He's in the middle of the field. He does his thing. The Patriots use it to target a certain receiver that the quarterback likes in certain situations. Okay. But now, going back to the situation, the Steelers had the ball at the
23-yard
line. Yeah. No, 21-yard line. 52 seconds left. They have one timeout. They only need a field goal. Okay. Now, I understand trying to be somewhat aggressive, but on the first down, first one, they play man to man, and they've been running crossers all day long and hitting them on you for the most part. And I know some Patriots fans have brought up that there was a pick on that play and about how, look, the officiating goes both ways. That was a legal pick. You can pick within 1 yard of the line of scrimmage.
Within a yard, that's
yeah,
right.
And that was close enough. It was one and a half, close enough. But I don't understand why they're not just playing zone there.
Okay, so ultimately you're saying the Patriots are in the wrong defense.
Yeah, and if the Patriots end up losing that game, Matt Patricia's getting a bunch of heat for that play call.
Okay, so that one goes on the defensive coordinator then.
Yes.
Okay. And what about on the side?
Well, even so, okay, so it's a bad call, but what about Jordan Richards and Devin McCourty in the play?
Yeah, I was just watching that. Now, Devin McCourty, you know, would it have been better if he gave ground a little bit? But where Smith-Schuster caught the ball and was running, you know, I could see that McCourty thought he was going to have an angle to get him down. It's just that I forget which player it was. I don't know if that's Bell.
Le'Veon Bell's the one making the block.
Yes, so Bell sort of picks him a little bit, but Jordan Richards needed to be a little bit better on that play. I mean, he got a little bit out of sorts, slips. That caused the outside containment issues, and then he goes down the field.
Yeah, it was Roe McCourty and Jordan Richards. And Jordan Richards was the one being blocked by Le'Veon Bell. I mean, huge defensive breakdown. I like that, Greg. That's good. Matt Patricia screwed up there. They were in the wrong defense.
I was shocked when I first heard it.
Yeah, Murray, this is something you and I are not capable of. Because, yeah. I mean, I didn't notice that they were in single high robber.
I mean, when all of a sudden they started running that play, I think I said to Chris Price next to me, I was like, what are they doing playing man-to-man? Like, and then they got picked, and that's where you leave yourself open. If they play again, that is a situation where the Patriots would not call that defense.
Yeah, the good news is that Eric Rowe is only about 5 steps behind Schuster.
Well, there's nothing that you can really do there. I mean, you know, really you're relying on somebody to give you help, maybe hit the guy coming across. But it was just, they shouldn't have been in that
defense. Sounds to me like there's that's another reason why Malcolm Butler retweets Pro Football Focus after a game, because he doesn't like the defensive calls.
There you go. Although he did play 100% of the snaps, Murray was on the field for every one of them.
Yep,
Mikey's in Linfield. Mikey, what do you got?
So on the play to Hayward Bay, when he stayed in bounds on the left side, after they called the timeout after the Schuster reception, why wouldn't they have run Bell, because he was thrashing the Pats all game? And then, Greg, real quick on Bell, why would he decline a 5-year extension in the offseason leading into the season? Like, he can't keep doing the franchise tag thing like Kirk Cousins.
Okay, Mikey, thanks for the call. Don't answer the question about the franchise tag. I couldn't give a rat's ass about Le'Veon Bell's contract right now. with regard to the play, there's no way they can call a running play after Hayward Bay goes down, can they?
Yeah, they could have.
Do they have enough time to run the ball there and then line up and kick
a
field goal?
Well, I mean, it's one that you can execute really quick. No, what I would have done...
But again, no timeouts, Greg. Then they have to kick a field goal. They're going to run out the clock if he doesn't get in.
What probably would have been smarter for them is after the Smith-Schuster play, don't call the timeout and just run up and run Bell. And then use your timeout. I mean, because I think the Patriots would have been gassed. I mean, the question is, can you get the offensive linemen? How long is it going to take them to get up there?
I mean, you got to get your offense. You got to get your whole offense 69 yards down the field after that play.
Right. And the defense has to too. You know,
I don't blame the Steelers for not calling for calling a timeout after the Smith-Schuster play. I just think there was too much ground to cover, and they had to call a timeout
I just think the big error was they weren't prepared during that review, and they should have had two play calls, or at least known exactly what they were going to do should certain things happen.
They weren't ready. There's no doubt. Mike's in Rhode Island. Mike, what do you got?
Yeah, this question's for Badat. Earlier in your intro, you mentioned that the Steelers, if all things work out and the Patriots play the Steelers for the AFC Championship game, and I hope they do, more importantly, you mentioned the Steelers would be in better position because they're getting three or four players back, Antonio Brown, Joe Hayden, and the guy that's on suspension right now. What about the players the Patriots are getting back? Did you think of that? I know they're not all world, but they're they get back Kyle Van Noy, potentially Chris Hogan. They're getting back Alan Branch, Rex Burkhead. Potentially, too, there's a surprise in there. You got maybe Britt can make a contribution by then. He'll be in the system about a month. What about that? Isn't that about, you know, I'm not saying it's even Steven, but we're getting some players back, too. I'd love to see that game with everybody together.
You understand this, Greg, right? That you had the audacity to suggest that Pittsburgh could come in here and win. So now someone's telling you that you failed to include the factor.
Right. Well, I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, yes, the Patriots could get guys back. I just don't think Kyle Van Noy and Alan Branch this year make all that much of a difference. I mean, the Patriots are much better on defense. Not much better, but they're better with Van Noy out there. But that was like, I don't know, my fifth or sixth reason why I think the Steelers would be competitive in a rematch. I'm just saying that it wouldn't be as easy as some people make it out to be.
No matter
just because I think Steelers, as constituted, both teams, the Steelers, I mean, in a lot of ways, you could make the argument that the Steelers are the better team. You know, and that if they had better coaching, they would have waxed the floor with the Patriots on Sunday night.
Yeah, be careful now. Be careful, Greg.
How dare
you? I mean, it's just, you know, Belichick and company make that much of a difference, and I just don't think that much of Tomlin.
And whatever you do, don't suggest that the Patriots had luck on their side, too. Don't do that. Because
I don't think I did that.
That would somehow... they did have a little bit of luck. They did. It's okay. Every team that wins in a championship or wins a big game somewhere along the line gets a little bit of luck. They all do. I mean, I've yet to see a team that has won, you know, or very few that have won that have been so absolutely positively dominating that they didn't need a break here and there.
Yep.
You need a break. Yeah, absolutely. Somewhere along the line, you're going to need a break.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No one says it like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you nuts?
Felger and Mazz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This chair has a way of sort of transforming you into a a-hole.
You're
frankly,
thus the name.
Naturally that way.
Yeah, no, well, it doesn't. So I got a little bit of it in me. I'm not going to say I'm a zero on the
except a-hole. For Boston's new home for Yankee Talk, the baseball reporters every
correct.
Hour during the summer.
Yes, and the Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, the slugfest that will be the 2018 baseball season, Jimmy. But Murray, let me promise you right now, it's Tuesday 3:20, right? I almost said 4 o'clock. I'm that eager to get rid of Bedard. Tuesday, 3:20. By Thursday at 4 o'clock, 48 hours from now,
yeah.
Jimmy's going to be ready to shoot me. Okay? I'm just...
Okay.
Because I'm barking in his ear every 5 seconds. So, anyway, 10 questions with Greg Bedard is next. Jimmy, you have buzzer options as usual?
Sort of loses its...
Are you guys stupid? I don't remember what those were from, but keep going.
The whole neighborhood is chasing the fella.
Oh, I know what that is. Yeah, that's from Jim Gray. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The whole hood want him.
Die, wonton.
What is that?
That's at.
I was going to say, I don't know.
That's Adam Jones mocking Greg Bedard doing his lifesaver gimmick.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, go. Any more?
Wait, what?
I don't know. Keep going.
It's high. It is far. It is in the seats. It's gone, Carlo, for John Carlo. Yes, Susan.
Is that the last one, Jimmy, or there more? One more.
That's an amazing swing right there. That's the kind of power the Yankees have, John. I've never seen anything like it.
Yes, yes.
All right, Jimmy, sprinkle him in as you will. Question number 10. Sort of loses its... Carolina owner Jerry Richardson has said he will sell his team in the wake of allegations about his behavior and conduct. Who would be a good owner for the Panthers? And please don't say Dave Tube.
I got one for you.
Go.
Oprah.
Oh.
They need an African-American owner. They could have they could use a female, you know, and she's got money.
Is she interested?
I don't know, but I think she should be.
She does. No. She does have that kind of money. She could maybe do
it. Also would help them sort of with the, you know, the moms and, you know, marketing, stuff like that.
Oh, what a great idea. Murray?
Well, I'm all for this P. Diddy Colin Kaepernick ownership group because it'll make the ketchup sock Kurt Schilling of the world really angry, and their anger equals comedy to me. So I want the woke Panthers with P. Diddy and Colin Kaepernick.
Woke.
I got one for you.
Oh, go.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fabulous. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Die, wonton.
Number 9, in the Oakland-Dallas game, referee Gene Steratore actually used an index card, Greg, that we have all seen now, to help determine whether there was a first down, actually placing the card between the nose of the football and the first down marker. Did Steratore make an ass of himself, and what would be a better tool for actually measuring such a distance?
Yes, he made an ass of himself, and I think, when are we going to get chips in the football and digital down markers? I mean, what the hell? We're still bringing the chains out from the sideline. How is this even remotely going on?
He made a complete fool out of himself. I still can't believe that he called the first down. So what he should do, here's how he should have done it. He should have taken his middle finger and put that in between the ball and the marker because there was still space, bring it up, show that middle finger to the crowd, and then call the first down. Because that's essentially what you did.
I mean, at least that could actually, you know, measure a width. Like the width of an index card, that's preposterous. The whole neighborhood is chasing the fella. Number 8, give me your 3 finalists for NFL Coach of the Year, and then tell me who deserves to win it.
Sean McVay, Doug Marrone.
Okay, Rams, Jags.
Bill Belichick.
And who deserves to win?
Sean McVay.
Okay, Murray.
Marrone, McVay, Mike Zimmer in Minnesota. Mike Zimmer deserves to win it.
Yeah, my vote's for Mike Zimmer.
What? Didn't they go to the playoffs last year?
They're on their third string quarterback. They lost Dalvin Cook, who was leading the league in rushing at the time. The defense is nasty. They're 11-3. They're probably the best team in the conference. I think that's insane.
You two fight it out later. Go, Jimmy.
It's high. It is far. It is in the seats. It's gone, Carlo, for John Carlo. Yes, Susan.
Number 7, the Rams absolutely bludgeoned my Seahawks on Sunday in a game that felt like the changing of the guard in the NFC West. So, before we get to the Rams, Greg, is the Seahawks window officially closed? Should Pete Carroll be in trouble?
That was the day the music died in Seattle. It's over. They need to start a rebuild. And they actually need to, you know, build on the offensive line once in a while. They're terrible.
But should he be fired? Yeah, so it's over, but I think Pete should keep it.
They need
to
revamp the personnel. It's time to rebuild.
I'll tell you what, the guy who could really get exposed here in the next couple of years is Russell Wilson.
No.
Like, I love Russell Wilson.
He's their whole team.
Okay, but I wonder whether or not he is the kind of quarterback that can win on his own.
Someone's jumping off the bandwagon.
No, I'm not jumping off anything. I'm just trying to be honest about him. I try to call like I see him. Go ahead, Jimmy.
That's an amazing swing right there. That's the kind of power the Yankees have, John. I've never seen anything like it.
Yes, yes.
Okay, number 6. Now we get to the Rams, Greg. They're 10-4. Murray wants to know why you continue to discredit the Rams.
Goff. But I am becoming a believer. I mean, as long as they stay through Todd Gurley, running the offense through Gurley, then, you know, they're a good team. I mean, he was the offense on Sunday against Seattle. they stay that way, then I'm a believer. But there will come a time in the postseason when somebody can stop the run, and they have to rely on Goff, and they can't just rely on McVay setting him up with these half-field reads and things like that. He's going to have to play actual football, and I think he's going
to
melt down.
Is there any truth to – so I didn't like him coming out of college anyway, but it's obviously been a big bounce-back year for him. Is there any truth to – I read that Sean McVay utilizes the play clock and is in his ear for as much time as possible, basically giving him the play, and he's looking at the defense, and he's telling him the play before the ball is snapped.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of what they do in college, where the quarterback would come up to the
– it was the Robert Griffin thing.
Yeah. Can you guys have coffee later and we'll continue and we'll just answer the question?
I'm interested.
Okay. Are you guys stupid? Number five, Houston Texans coach Bill O'Brien emphatically told reporters earlier this week that he has no intention of quitting. Should O'Brien keep his job?
Should he keep his job? Yes. Do I think he'll be the coach next year? I have my doubts.
So you think there's a chance he gets fired?
Well... sort of. I think there may be some backroom maneuvering to let him out. And I don't know how they cover it. I don't know how they announce it. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him elsewhere next year.
Okay, you got to explain more than that. Good, because now you've got...
Can you do this on your own time?
Yeah.
Well, look. Very good, Mark.
Let me just make it clear that I haven't talked to Bill about this. Okay? This is just my tea reading from being there, being behind the scenes. There's the GM and the coach cannot coexist.
Okay. So you think there's a change coming in Houston?
Yes, and Rick Smith is basically cover for the McNairs. Cal McNair is like, I don't know, godfather to Rick Smith's kids. Rick Smith is not going anywhere.
That'd be a shame. He should keep the job. I mean, that's a team ravaged by injuries this year, and he should get another year at least with Watson.
There's going to be a decision. Who's going to have power? Is it going to be Rick Smith or is it going to be Bill O'Brien? It can't stay the way it is.
I don't blame O'Brien for what's gone on in Houston. Sort of loses its... Okay, we got to move. In his last three games, Blake Bortles of Jacksonville has completed 71.4% of his passes. 7 touchdowns, no picks, a rating of 128.6. Is Bortles still a liability for Jacksonville, Greg?
Yes. He's just having a good run.
Yeah, of course he is. It's Blake Bortles.
Yeah, if he comes in here, Blake Bortles is going to absolutely crap his pants. The whole neighborhood is chasing the fella. Okay, number three, Jimmy Garoppolo is now 3-0 with the Niners since being named the starter, and he's 5-0 for his career. Did the Patriots make a mistake by trading Garoppolo?
At the time and what they got for him, yes. They should have traded him under the tag to the highest bidder.
They made a mistake when they traded him and what the return was. So ultimately, it's no. They should have. I believe they should have traded him, but I hated the timing and the return.
You know how I feel about this. They're going to regret this one for a long time. Go, Jimmy.
It's high. It is far. It is in the seats. It's gone, Carlo, for John Carlo. Yes, Susan.
Okay, for the sake of argument, let's say that Garoppolo is still here and that he is currently the backup quarterback. Okay, so the Patriots have an option. You know, someone decent behind Brady other than Brian Hoyer. Okay, Garoppolo. If he were still here, who would be more important to the Patriots from here on out? Brady or Gronk?
Brady.
Gronk.
I say Gronk, too.
No, I still don't think Garoppolo could win a Super Bowl with this team. I still believe that.
That's an amazing swing right there. The kind of power the Yankees have, John. I've never seen anything like it.
Yes.
Number one, every week, including this one, we ridicule other NFL teams for crapping their pants in the final minutes and seconds of a game. Leaving out the Patriots, which NFL team do you think has the best track record of executing under duress?
I only have two. The Saints.
Ooh, good one, yeah.
And the Ravens.
Flacco and Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Are we counting just for 2017?
No, I said track record, so go where you want, Murray.
No, well, I'm just thinking this year, and I'm ready for the tank shaming of my life, the Atlanta Falcons. They've won 4 games in the last play, a game in the next to last play, and a game in the last 90 seconds this year.
You're right, Murray. That's a shameful take.
Well, it's terrible. Falcons shameful. This year.
I had you pegged for the Packers, Greg. I thought you were going to say the Packers.
No, Aaron I've Rogers. Covered them. Okay. I've watched
shame,
them.
Shame, shame,
your team stinks.
Boo, boo.
Felger and Maz.
This is Felger.
The man is beholden to no one.
And Ness.
I don't really know what to expect.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I haven't heard anything from either the coaching staff or Alex about either one being upset with each other. So I've read the reports. I don't know anything about that. And I've seen Alex in the building. I've seen Alex in the building each of the last couple of weeks, maybe one of the last two, but I'm not there that much. But I've seen Alex in the building, and he always seems like he's in a really good mood. Alex is a great guy, and neither one has said anything to me about what I read about in the media.
And you heard Jonathan Kraft say there he's heard nothing about it. If there's any sort of conflict or issue, you're grinning over there, Greg. As am I, for that matter. And Murray's chuckling, too, because none of us believe it for a second. And I don't know how you could believe it, especially after what we've heard in the last day. And on their weekly interviews on our competitors, both Brady and Belichick have said basically no comment when asked about this thing.
Belichick asked about it, too?
Belichick was asked about it also. Our buddy Rich Keefe, I think, asked him about it. And Bill said, it's not anything I'm going to comment on. So that's what Bill said. Mm-hmm. And Brady said he wasn't going to comment on it.
He no commented twice.
Okay.
Yeah, Brady says, I don't have any comment on that other to say Alex is a big part of what I do. I'm fortunate to have him. So it's like three straight non-answers from all three of these parties.
Okay, but in this case, Greg, aren't non-answers answers?
Yes.
The fact that neither one of them would say anything and shoot it down,
right.
Doesn't that tell you that there absolutely positively is something there?
Yeah, not as much Belichick. But I think even if things were going swimmingly with Alex, I think that Belichick would have given that same answer. Now, Brady, his non-answer is very significant.
Yeah, I mean, to me, there's absolutely an issue there, and it's worth keeping an eye on. Now, look, Brady, to me, did not play great in this game. And I know you haven't gone through the whole thing yet. You said you got through about half of the offense. I don't know if I'd push you on it, but if you had to give him a grade for just the first half, what would you give him?
D.
Okay. I mean, it wasn't good.
Yeah, no. But I do want to say, on Kraft, one thing you have to take into account is that, first of all, TB12 is a Patriot Place tenant, and there may be some sort of financial arrangement there.
Okay. Now you sound like Jimmy.
Well,
except he's a legitimate journalist. I'm a gossiping producer.
Exactly. That's exactly right, Jimmy. Yep. Don't take it personally.
Oh, I don't.
I lost all credibility when I got into radio and went right out the window. People used to think I knew what I was talking about. Now it's gone. So that's the end of that. There was something else I was going to ask you, and I can't. Oh, Murray, did you happen to see who's on line five?
Boy, did I.
Yes. It's been quite a while, so eventually we reconnect with old friends, often at this time of year, Greg. The holidays do that. You sort of people start to bury the hatchet.
Oh, sure.
And you mend fences and you connect with people you haven't seen in a while. Isn't that right, Carlton?
I decided to temporarily suspend my over 2 month boycott of the show because I believe that Bedard has at least one bone in his body that's objective. It may be his little pinky toe bone, and the rest of them are dyed in the wool blue and red. But I'd like him to comment on...
Carlton, before you get to your football point, let me just ask, should I read into the fact at all that you called today when Felger's not here?
That's part of it as well. And it has nothing to do with the reasons why you guys said I'm boycotting the show, my real reason why I'm boycotting the show. We can get to that at another time.
It's me.
Because I want to ask that objective Greg Bedard to comment on 3 points. Point number one...
Make it quick, Carlton.
You get one.
Yeah, I will. James's catch, third down catch, which preceded the Gronk fourth down play, was mismarked by the officials by at least a yard and a half. Go back and look at the tape. The Patriots kick a field goal if it's fourth and 2.5 instead of fourth and less than 1 yard. Okay? There's the ref screw up number one. Number two, there were four subjective penalties called in the game. Only four. All four of them went against the Steelers. Three of them killed Steelers drives. The other one extended the Patriots scoring drive, the pass interference on Gronk. Point number three, Greg Bedard either hasn't read the rule, which is Rule 8, Section 1, item 2, I believe. Item 3, I believe it is. Anyway, Jesse James had established himself as a runner.
No, he had not.
Yes, he had. Go and look at the definition.
I know the rule.
Greg Bedard. Go and look at what the definition is in the rule. All he had to do, once he gained possession, in other words, once he secured control of the ball and had either 2 feet or one other body part down, which he did with the knee.
5 seconds, Carlton. 5 seconds.
All he had to do was turn up field.
Oh, his time expired. I hate it when the clock runs
out. So go ahead, Greg.
Well, number one I wanted to say about his second point, the Patriots were only called for 2 penalties for 4 yards in that game. And one was an illegal touching.
On Brandon Cooks,
and
right.
One was a false start. Little dicey. That's a little dicey. I mean, you know, yes, they let go a lot of holds on the line. Both ways, go. Patriots should have been called for another. Like, one real penalty, one in the game. Anyways, but what he neglects, like everybody else does, is that there is another part of the rule. That is, it's addendum item one. If a player goes to the ground in the act of catching a pass, with or without contact by an opponent, he must maintain control of the ball throughout the process of contacting the ground. That's the other. He was going to the ground, so he hadn't. If you're going to the ground, it's an entirely different category altogether than any other catch.
Okay, I want to rewind for a second, I didn't get a chance to say, Carlton, call back. Okay, don't.
I will. Yeah. I promise I will. I know the rule book. Section 1, 22. I know. And Jesse James was a runner. He was also a cowboy outlaw. He is a mean, dirty killer.
It was good to hear from him again.
Yeah, don't be such a nudge, Carlton, you big baby. Just get, call back. They're not going to all go your way.
I want my time uninterrupted.
I don't know if we want to hear from you every day, but you can call the show every now and then. We're fine with that. We don't take it personally, Carlton. So the now I lost my train of thought again, Greg. Naturally. This always happens when I sort of deviate from the topic. So I'll tell you what. I'm going to collect my thoughts. We'll figure it out. And when we come back, we'll wrap it up with Greg Bedard.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mass.
I'm a hypocrite.
Wow.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We were talking about Alex Guerrero and you know, the tension that seemingly exists between the Patriots, Brady, you know, Guerrero maybe potentially undermining some of the efforts of the training and medical staff and that whole thing, right? I mean, you hear things about guys wanting to train certain ways or customarily training certain ways. For example, you know, a player does squats to improve his leg strength or to strengthen his legs, and Guerrero advises against it, right? So there's that sort of tussle going back and forth. When we asked you about this, is there, with regard to Guerrero, like I haven't seen it anywhere. Was he in Pittsburgh? Is there anything new with Guerrero? To your knowledge,
the only thing new I would say is that, you know, I was told that there was an effort to get the parties together before the Miami game, between Belichick, Kraft, and Brady. And it didn't happen. Now, that's not to say it couldn't happen at some point. He was not on the sidelines at Pittsburgh. I think he was in the area. He has been doing work with Brady and some of his clients, but he hasn't been on the sideline for, you know, multiple games now. What I've been told is that there's a significant issue between Belichick and Guerrero. And I think that there's still a chance that it could get resolved and he could be back in the fold. Other people have told me that that's not happening, that this is permanent.
Between Bill and Guerrero?
Yep.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think what else.
So you think Guerrero was in Pittsburgh. Obviously, he didn't travel with the team and he wasn't on the sidelines. So presumably, Brady or somebody brought him to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's not unusual. You know, a lot of guys bring their people with them, if they can afford it, they will bring, like, I think Guerrero was in Colorado Springs, and I think he might have been in Mexico, but not with the team or part of the team travel party.
Right. You want to come, you come on your own time.
Right.
Or the player pays for you or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But you know, I just wonder if this, I keep hearing different things, that it could be resolved, and other people are saying that it can't be resolved, but that, you know, it is an issue between. It's an underlying issue. I don't think it's to the point, and I don't think it will get to the point that it's nothing that the team and Brady can't overcome. They'll continue to win. They won on Sunday. They'll continue to win. They'll do whatever. But, you know, I know it is a bit of an irritant for Belichick and Brady.
Murray?
So that meeting that they tried to get the parties all together before the Miami game, did that not end up happening because of a timing issue, or did one party, did you hear, is so stubborn that they're like, no, we want no part of this?
Well, it wasn't that somebody was stubborn. It was that somebody was not in the area and couldn't make the meeting. That's why when I heard that Guerrero was in around the locker room last week at Gillette, that I thought maybe they had the meeting after Miami, especially after a loss. Maybe everybody was like, you know what, this is silly. Let's all get on the same page. I heard that meeting has not happened and that Guerrero is around the facility through some sort of pass that he has through Brady or something like that.
Is it so bad that, worst case scenario, that this affects Brady, and once 2019 is up, he doesn't get any kind of extension? He's like, he can still play, feels like he can still play, he wants out.
I don't think it'll ever get to that point. You know, I do think, from what I've been told, that Brady would like the team to be a little bit more accommodating in this area.
And should they be, Greg?
No, not if Guerrero is interfering with the treatment of the team's players. I mean, I think the team is basically, up to this point, has been like, you can do whatever you want with Brady. You know, he does his own thing. That's fine. But I think the issue has been that he's interfering with the treatment of other players, and Belichick finally had enough of that.
Greg, I honestly, and I know we touched on this last week, I'm astonished this didn't come to a head sooner.
Yeah.
Right? Because how long have they been together now? It's been years, right, those two. And look, I've encountered it in baseball, but I think it's common to encounter it in any sport, because there are guys inevitably who are so maniacal and fanatical about their bodies that they have their own guys outside of the team structure, right? That they have their own personal trainers or whatever. And that teams, as a rule, almost say, look, you can do whatever you want when you leave here, as long as it doesn't violate your contract, right? You can do whatever you want. When you're here, though, you know, you play by our rules, and your person doesn't interfere with what we're doing, right? So I can't believe that the Patriots were as, when I say I can't believe, they were beyond accommodating, it feels like to me, in terms of this whole thing. And if it reached the point where Guerrero was undermining the, you know, the work of the trainers and the strength and conditioning people and the medical staff, he absolutely should get his ass kicked out the door. Like, what, is he the one running the place? If I'm Belichick, that would go right up my mail slot. I mean, like, right up there. Because, and Belichick is a control freak to the nth degree, as we know this. I'm astonished that it lasted this long.
Right, and plus somebody who talks to the media and has had, you know, stuff written about him, and he's, you know, done different interviews. So I think all of that contributes.
We have a couple more minutes here before we let you go, and I wanted to ask you, Tre'Davious White, did I get that right, Murray?
Yep. Yeah.
The defensive back for the Bills.
The whole hood one.
Yes. Who is the guy that Gronk jumped on and, you know, hurt and caused Gronk to get the one-game suspension, has since backed off some of his comments a little bit. Initially he said, you know, Gronk's a dirty player, you know, the whole hood won him, the whole nine yards, Greg. That certainly suggested there was continuing anger, tension that was going to carry over onto the field. He has since made a comment to SiriusXM Radio about, well, look, you know, we've calmed down. I'm smart enough to know he's not that kind of guy. The best way to pay him back is to go in there and win. And Murray and I were talking about this off the air a little while ago. The Bills are 8-6. The Bills are in it. Isn't that going to help the Patriots this week in that, and when I say help them, if the Bills did have it in their minds to do something cheap and stupid, they potentially could hurt themselves as much as they hurt the Patriots, because they're in contention for a playoff spot.
Yeah, I mean, but I do think that, look, White might be saying something publicly, but they might be saying something different internally in meetings and things like that. I mean, we'll have to see. I mean, I think that McDermott and his guys, you know, from being around them over the years are... they do things the right way, so I don't think this will really spill over. But I'm sure the secondary room, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of talk this week about somebody getting payback against Gronk. Now, it's one thing to say that. It's another thing to actually do it, and I don't think they will. But, you know, I'm sure they're going to be vigilant about him.
Okay, so you question whether or not he's being sincere or he's just blowing smoke today.
Yeah.
But this whole thing should be a pretty good referendum on McDermott and whether or not he has control of that team, shouldn't it?
Yeah, no question. Yeah, I think this is going to be a good game on Sunday. I think it'll be competitive. As long as we'll see where Tyrod Taylor's, you know, foot is, and, you know, it was effective last week. But, I mean, look, the Bills were doing some business on the Patriots, and Taylor wasn't at full strength, you know, with the ankle thing. So I think it could be interesting, and they had a tough time with Kyle Williams and other guys on the Buffalo interior. So I think I'm expecting a pretty competitive game.
Is there any question in your mind that the Patriots will win the last two and end up as the number one seed?
No, they usually take care of business.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I think it's I think the worst in terms of the Patriots' inconsistencies, I think the worst is behind them. I think they went through that stretch, and, you know, Jay Cutler had an out-of-body experience, and then this past week in Buffalo went right back to being Jay Cutler, threw three picks and completely looked disinterested in that game. And so I know we had a caller earlier say that they think New England and Pittsburgh will not end up facing one another in the AFC Championship game, and that one of them is going to lose. I felt that last week. I feel it still this week. I don't think they're both going to end up there. As much as I would love to see it, someone's going to lose, and now I feel like it's going to be Pittsburgh. I feel like the air got taken out of Pittsburgh and that they're going to slip up here and lose one of these remaining two. In any case, Greg, as always...
Well, I had one more question.
Oh, go. I'm sorry, Murray.
Before you go, Greg, say I'm a Boston sports fan, and I wanted to get some really good information about the local teams, but I wanted to give a gift, or actually give it to myself as a gift for Christmas. Where should I go?
Funny you should ask. I think you should go to bostonsportsjournal.com. We have plenty of gift subscription options for people, and it's easy, and, you know, we'll be getting requests probably through Christmas morning. So people wake up and be like, oh, man, I got to get something for Uncle Tom. I don't know what to get him. You just sign up at the site. You can forward him an email, or we have a card that you can print out, things like that. So quick, easy, done.
So, or if I wanted to get something for co-host Jim.
Yes, because he needs all the help that you can get when it comes to information on local teams.
Yeah, and he's a cheap bastard who won't pay for the subscription to your website. So that's another story for another day.
I pay, Greg.
Greg, as always, thank you for coming in.
Thanks, guys. How are
you all? And yeah, happy holidays to you and yours, in all sincerity. We appreciate having you on the show. 617-779-0985. McCone's, get your headlines. And then when we come back, we've spent a lot of time on the Patriots and Steelers. There was an unbelievable finish in the NBA last night, and it involved the team from here. If you haven't seen this, boy, it's been this kind of week in Boston. We'll get to the Celtics next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
My name is Jameer Dixon, and I'm a locating Mark Fieldman for PG&E. I protect people. I protect our community. I protect our environment. And when you call 811, I come out to your house, and I mark out our gas lines and our electric lines to make sure that you don't hit them when you're digging. 811 is at the heart of safety. I want people to know what's underneath them when they're digging. I'm passionate about it because every time I go on the street, I think about my own kids. 811 is a free service. Even if you're planting a garden, no project is too small to call 811.
Together, we're building a better California.